AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Former President Trump is calling today's civil trial verdict a disgrace, but will have to pay $5 million to the author who'd accused him of rape. CBS's Matt Piper reports.
Donald Trump's attorney Joe Tacopina sums up the trial this way.
Strange verdict. This was a rape claim. It was a rape case all along, and the jury rejected that.
The jury found Donald Trump liable for sexual assault, but not rape. The six men and three women also found that he defamed E. Jean Carroll. In a statement, she said, in part, this victory is not just for me, but for every woman who has suffered because she was not believed. Tacopina says they plan to appeal.
CBS News has learned the Justice Department has officially filed criminal charges against embattled New York Congressman George Santos. The Republican lawmaker was sworn in back in January, despite telling a laundry list of lies to get elected. He's expected to be arrested tomorrow. Impasse at the White House. CBS's Stephen Portnoy explains.
The high-stakes meeting lasted about an hour. When it ended, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy told reporters,
I didn't see any new movement.
The GOP-controlled House has passed a bill that raises the debt ceiling, but it contains spending cuts that the president has called draconian. McCarthy says he asked Mr. Biden for areas where the president would accept cuts.
He wouldn't give me any, so I'm hopeful that we'll be able to find them.
They'll meet again on Friday. Texas border towns are bracing for a surge of asylum seekers later this week when Title 42 expires. Laredo Mayor Trey Mendez.
You never really know what to expect, but I do feel that we're as prepared as we can be.
Police in Texas are still digging into a shooter's past to figure out why he shot up a mall in Allen, killing eight people. Hank Sibley's with the state's Department of Public Safety.
We do know that he had neo-Nazi ideation. He had patches, he had tattoos. Even his signature, you know, verified that.
Former Fox News host Tucker Carlson says he plans to relaunch his controversial talk show on Twitter.
Twitter has long served as the place where our national conversation incubates and develops. Twitter is not a partisan site. Everybody's allowed here, and we think that's a good thing.
But he didn't give a date. It comes weeks after Carlson parted ways with Fox following the company's multi-million dollar settlement with Dominion. Looks like Lizzo's ready to hit the stage again. She's canceled a few shows after testing positive for strep throat, but she posted a message to fans about 2 hours ago, confirming she will perform tonight in Baltimore. She's also promised to reschedule any missed shows in Connecticut and Canada. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
In business, everything your employees do impacts your brand, including what they wear. Cintas has high-performance workplace apparel for almost every job imaginable. From work shirts and pants to polos and khakis to oxfords or t-shirts, these clothes move, breathe, and look great. Your team gets the styles they like, you convey the image you want. And Cintas service includes weekly laundry and delivery. To learn more, visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
At the United States Postal Service, we're reinventing our network to help keep your business moving. With new shipping options to deliver better value, greater flexibility to conveniently reach your customers, more confident shipping with new informed delivery features, and new electric vehicles for a cleaner, brighter future. Fast, reliable, perfectly orchestrated. The United States Postal Service, delivering for America. Learn more at USPS.com/movingforward.
Hi, I'm Kirsten from Pentatonix. We've all learned how to cope with more time alone. With more time spent isolated or at home, the need for companionship has grown. If you've considered adding a pet to your family, please check with your local shelters and foster organizations. Stray pet numbers have grown immensely over the past several years, and the trauma caused to these animals is devastating. Adopt pets, they need us more than we know. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
The Rick Smith Show.
where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows around 50 tonight under mainly cloudy skies, south winds around 5 miles per hour. Highs level off around 78 tomorrow. Partly cloudy skies again tomorrow night, 55. Upper 70s Thursday with a chance for scattered thunderstorms. Chance for scattered rain showers on Friday. Highs in the mid 70s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Vujcicki. Currently, it's 71.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news, talk, and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
You're listening to independent programming that has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. To learn more and to see our entire broadcast lineup, go to civicmedia.us.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. Educated educators talking education.
Welcome Tuesday night. It is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. We have a special guest. He's been on the show many times. He writes and speaks widely on human behavior, education, and parenting. The most recent of his 14 books are Schooling Beyond Measure and other unorthodox essays about education, The Myth of the Spoiled Child, Challenging Conventional Wisdom About Children and Parenting, and our favorite book, though, here at Busted Pencils, The Schools Our Children Deserve. Alfie Cohn, welcome back to Busted Pencils. How are you?
Doing okay, thank you.
Doing okay. So, you know, it's been a while, but you got a new blog post up, and Johnny and I caught it, and we were out there. I just want to read the title. Pay attention, class. Here come more facts for you to forget. And I'll quote from the article. It says, quote, students will soon forget much of the information they've been taught. The truth of that statement will be conceded, either willingly or reluctantly, by just about anyone who has spent time in a school. We commit a list of facts, dates, or definitions to memory, but before long, we couldn't recall most of them if our lives depended on it. Alfie, why are we revisiting this topic of forgetting facts?
Well, first, because I decided to check to make sure the research confirms what we all mostly know intuitively and from our own experience, and I dug deep to see what the study showed, and especially it was interesting because a couple of the scholarly articles on this try to reassure us that it's not as bad as we think and we remember more than we believe we do, but there are so many qualifications to that conclusion that the news on balance I think is pretty bad, and I can explain that if you want. And the other reason is because that fact, the fact of our forgetting, mm-hmm. is absolutely devastating to a resurgent view in education that calls itself core knowledge, mm-hmm. or sometimes it describes the approach in terms of a content-rich curriculum that's often based on the work of E.D. Hirsch Jr. and others. And so when these people say that schooling ought to be organized around, you know, what I call a bunch of facts,
right,
then the reality of how much we forget of that knowledge really vitiates that approach as opposed to something based more on students' understanding.
Well, when you bring this up, and I think a lot of people who listen to the Busted Pencils are already going, yeah, of course we know people forget the facts. But I want to take that in two parts too. The way you said that is this sense of going, okay, going back, checking the literature and seeing what's being said, there is a tendency to go, you know, people might be remembering more, but you kind of lay out and say, hold on a minute, read a little bit more closely to the research, explain that to, you know, the, what appears on first sight that, hey, we might be remembering more than we thought. What are the caveats there?
Yeah, right. And by the way, this is always good when you see a study to don't just read the conclusion and discussion section at the end. Go back and look at the results. I've seen this on other topics, too, including claims about homework, where the results often don't support the twist or the frame that the researcher wants to give it. So in this case, to take what was probably the major review of the research on this, it said, hey, it's not really so bad. But then when you look carefully at the studies under review, you find, first of all, most of them just looked at short-term retention, very rarely anything a year or more. And a lot of the studies also showed that people remembered only when their memory was jogged, like in a multiple choice test where you go, oh, yeah, you could circle the one that's familiar once you have a list, but they couldn't recall it. They could only recognize what they were taught. And then I think the biggest caveat is the research shows that you have to go back and revisit or rehearse, relearn the material in order for it to be remembered for years. So, for example, you're much more likely to remember what you learned in algebra if you went on to take higher-level math in college.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a huge caveat. If you don't go back to it, indeed, as we thought, it tends to disappear.
Yes. So rehearsing, practicing, memorizing tricks, guess what? They do produce a little bit of ability. And I like the way we say this, to remember. It's not that we're calling on a deep knowledge of understanding. It's a potential flash in the brain of going, oh, yeah, I remember that now. But as you said, though, it's even to talk about that, it requires some form of prompting, even for most of us, to remember, you know, hopefully not to remember when the War of 1812 was, but even potentially those types of trivial facts can be a bit problematic without some form of prompting.
Right, which is why, especially, you know, say a high school teacher or college instructor really needs to sit down while setting up a course, planning a course, and ask, what can I reasonably expect these students to remember a few years from now? Which is a very unsettling question if you ask it of yourself honestly. And if the answer is, you know, not much, a stray fact here or there, devoid of context, then what the hell are you doing it for? And what does that mean about the way you teach? You know, what can reasonably be expected?
Yeah, isn't that? I mean, so when you think about that, I mean, that's the button we're pushing. Is, well, why are we doing this? And this frame of going, you know, what is, you know, schooling good for? Or maybe, you know, what is the difference between schooling and / learning? As we're talking about those issues,
right?
Maybe they're different. And maybe can you comment on me putting out schooling versus learning?
Yes, we would hope that learning is the key enterprise going on during schooling, but a lot of researchers who talk about learning just mean memorizing facts. For example, there's been some popular books and articles and scholarly articles in the last 10 years or so that say, you know, what really helps students to learn is not just sort of, there was one just by Dan Willingham in the New York Times a few days ago that said you can't just go back and reread before your test. You got to sort of quiz yourself. You got to play all these other tricks that are more effective at learning. But by learning, they just mean coughing up information, stray little amputated bits of knowledge on a test. And so it's not enough to say, we think education is important as long as we construe it in terms of learning, because that word, like so many other words, has been diluted or reconstrued to mean something rather traditional. The question we want to ask is, what kind of learning do you mean that takes place in education? And that's where it's really interesting to look at these studies again, which find that students tend to remember more when, first, the learning is active, which is to say that students play a real role in learning by doing, and it's about discovery, than they learn when they're just taught by lectures or textbooks and direct instruction. Now, that more progressive kind of education helps students to love learning more and to think more deeply, but it turns out it even has an advantage with respect to the more traditional, the more conventional criterion of how much of it do you recall later.
Yeah, right, so the depth. Yeah, the depth of remembering. I love that part for you to emphasize that part is that even if the goal is remembering, schooling as, you know, quote, teaching surface memory is probably a pretty bad way to achieve longer term memory.
Yeah, that's right. It fails, to put it a different way, it fails even by its own dubious standard.
Right.
Which is, how much do you remember? But when you look at those studies of the teachers who got better, even memory results by looking at more active student-centered types of teaching, those teachers also had more ambitious goals. They were more interested in helping students to understand rather than just remember a bunch of facts. Or to put it differently, the curriculum, what we're teaching, and the pedagogy, how we're teaching, are often related to each other. More traditional in one often means more traditional in the other. If I'm teaching a bunch of facts, I'm probably going to do it by lecturing. If I'm more interested in deep understanding, I'm probably going to have a more progressive approach. So we don't know which of those is the more powerful predictor of better, of more remembering. And it probably turns out to be the case that both are involved, but, and here's the gorgeous paradox, the more teachers are concerned about having students just learn content, the less effective they are at helping students to remember that content.
Okay, so is that a dilemma?
It's a paradox. Okay. It's not a dilemma, because both, it would be a dilemma if progressive pedagogy and curriculum were inversely related.
Okay.
Like you'd have to choose one. But in fact, they're directly related, which means if you're helping students to focus more on understanding than just remembering stuff, and you have a progressive approach to have a hands-on, student-led kinds of active forms of instruction, you're going to benefit in many ways, including by the traditional criterion of what are they going to remember years from now.
Oh, we are talking to Alfie Cohn, our favorite education author, researcher, highlighter, commenter, helping us understand and see what's really happening out there in schoolrooms, whether it be dealing with research or how it is with learning. Alfie, when we get back, though, I want to then apply this to what we hear so often, learning loss. When we get back, more with Alfie Cohn and learning loss.
Tire shine with superior coverall tire shine at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Our professional parts people can help you choose the right cleaning supplies for your vehicle. Finish any great detail job with superior coverall tire shine. Right now, get two bottles for just $18. See store for details. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts or O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Hi, it's Jim Polzin from Badger Extra and the Wisconsin State Journal. Have you checked out BadgerExtra.com or the Badger Extra app powered by our top-notch Badger coverage team? Subscribe now to get extra coverage, including extra analysis, extra recruiting news, and one-on-one athlete interviews. Plus, subscribers get my exclusive podcast, Open Gym, where I answer your Badger questions. Go to BadgerExtra.com or search Badger Extra in your app store. Download and subscribe today.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Skies tonight with lows around 51. Southeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Mainly clear tomorrow, highs around 78. Tomorrow night, lows around 52. Temperatures a bit above average Thursday and Friday with highs from the mid-70s to the upper 70s. Chance for scattered thunderstorms Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Hite. Currently, it's 69 degrees.
On air at 92.7 megahertz frequency modulation and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Speak that fast, Tim Mibberith, Rise Against, Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. We are here truly shaking things up. Our guest, Alfie Cohn, he has a new blog, Pay Attention Class. Here come more facts for you to forget. Alfie, we're talking about the long-term or lack of long-term effects on, quote, remembering by this approach to learning. But this does, though, this frame, particularly earlier in the fall, though, this massive concern, and I was wondering how we might look at this differently, this phrasing, learning loss. The pandemic caused 2.4 years of reading learning loss of fourth graders in America. I'm a parent. I'm alarmed. Give me some sense of why that might not be really what's happening.
Again, it depends on what we mean by learning.
Okay.
So it is probably true that if you're out of school for a while over the summer, which is where the term learning loss originated with research on that, or for a while during the pandemic, you know, you may forget the difference between a simile and a metaphor, you know, or the steps for long division or you know, whatever it is you're working on, a bunch of the chief exports of Peru. So there's learning loss in that sense. But is that the kind of learning that matters? Well, we've already established that kids are going to forget this stuff after school anyway.
Right.
But when students are actively involved in understanding ideas from the inside out, of making sense of concepts, rather than just learning to borrow from the tens place, they've been helped to really construct meaning around the idea of place value. They know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
Or instead of just learning, you know, what you're supposed to put in the hypothesis section of your lab write-up, but instead you were the one who got a chance to design the experiment to test the hypothesis, you don't forget that. The other example I give...
Go ahead, please, another example.
The other example I gave in the piece is, you know, as opposed to learning what iambic pentameter is or whatever, or how many sentences should be in your each paragraph of your essay, instead of that garbage, if you're helped to think about the impact your writing is going to make on a reader, how the reader is going to view it, again, that learning doesn't get lost. So when people talk about learning loss, and They are, first of all, they're talking only about an impact on standardized test scores.
Okay, good.
And humorously, many of the press releases that were uncritically picked up by the mass media during the pandemic, warning of the grave examples of learning loss, came from NWEA, which is a standardized test producer. You know, it's unbelievable, and nobody even takes a moment to look at that. But when these people warn of this, they're not telling us, here is the grave problem whenever kids are out of school, so by God, get them some more remedial instruction of the same type that didn't work when they were in school last. What they're doing, whether they realize it or not, is indicting traditional education that's based on content in the sense of items of knowledge. They're telling us the problem isn't with school. The problem is with conventional schooling that is focused on memorizing stuff they can look up and teaching it in a traditional way.
But that's never framed that way. The way you just said that
is
never an indictment. It's always instead it's used as an indictment of the, you know, those crappy teachers, those lousy health people who made us close down for COVID. It's never internally or not internally, but we never say, you know what? Maybe the approach to teaching and learning has never itself actually created, quote, long-term deep learning. And maybe we shouldn't be surprised that after a pandemic with, you know, sporadic types of schooling that, remembering things that are assessed, as you just said, through large, quote, objective, whatever objective means, standardized tests, that if we were trying to get at and measure learning differently, we would then maybe say, hey, the whole enterprise itself is failing, as opposed to going learning loss, bad teachers, bad people, bad, 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 bad.
Exactly. It's an indictment of standardized tests as an outcome measure. It's an indictment of traditional forms of direct instruction through lectures, worksheets, quizzes, and the like. And most of all, it's an indictment of construing education or learning itself as merely retaining a bunch of knowledge.
So
Keep
going.
Oh, sorry, go on.
No, so knowing that, though, and I think, you know, we're at this and, you know, only got two more minutes left. And again, the time always goes so fast when we're talking to you. How do I... You know, maybe even a parent who goes, I'm suspecting that. How might I challenge a school district and or move? Let's just say a movement that's saying, hey, your kids lost learning, to go, hey, schools, maybe we ought to think about what it is we mean by learning. I mean, how do we make this message come across? Because once again, and I don't know if you saw the latest report by James Harvey that came out in the Washington Post, where he's like, look, 40 years ago, first of all, the facts on a nation at risk, disaster. And we've created this disastrous teaching and learning conditions all along the idea of going, we think a lot of kids have forgotten everything. If that's not our goal, then how do we get people to change the goal?
Well, I mean, to some extent, you answer your own question.
Right.
But because I mean, the way you respond to it is by reframing it. And I mean, the simplest way is simply to say, what do you mean by learning?
Right.
And there's going to be an interesting conversation that takes place. What kind of learning loss? And pretty soon people will, you don't have to memorize my answer, you know, appropriately enough. As soon as you ask that question, you will find yourself sort of reconstructing this and saying, well, it's a bunch of facts that tend to be forgotten. And you're right. But that doesn't mean, oh my God, we got to do remedial work to cram even more facts.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Papa, why can't we telegraph while riding a horse?
Son, there ain't no one to blame but Jeffro.
He was riding old Betsy the Stallion, tip-tapping away at his telegraph, when blam, ran right into the side of the saloon.
Well, if Jeffro can't do it, neither should you. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Data shows that after a child turns 9 in foster care, they are much less likely to be adopted. But the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption believes every child is adoptable.
Families, if you're able to let your hair down a little bit, there's a lot to learn from teenagers.
The clock is ticking for teens at risk of aging out of foster care. Learn how you can help at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
It was a normal day.
He was in some minor accident, a fender bender.
And I had this impulse to call him, but I didn't, because I thought I could call him later that week.
He abandoned the car, he came home, and he shot himself without ever talking to anyone.
When I came home that night and I found her, they told me that she had shot herself, and I couldn't believe it.
I asked if he was okay.
Taking a gun into your house for protection is a terrible myth.
Once you pull that trigger, that's it. There is no coming back.
65 Americans a day die by gun suicide. Store your gun securely, locked, unloaded, and away from ammunition. Help stop suicide. Learn more at infamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
In honor of all those we've lost to cancer and those still fighting and thriving, like basketball analyst Dick Vitale.
I want to beat cancer. I'm going to beat it. That's no doubt in my mind. I'm going to win this battle.
Defeating cancer will take all of us. At the V Foundation, V is for victory over cancer. V is for victory over giving up.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Join our team in the fight against cancer at V.org.
Farming is dangerous. There's dangers all around us.
We go through safety training and try and do these things to make sure accidents don't happen.
You don't want to hit a gas pipe because that's your life. The other part of it is if you hit certain things, you're liable for it.
FarmSafe 811 starts with you. Always call 811 and wait for any underground lines to be marked.
Always keep safety in the back of your mind. Just stay humble.
For more information, go to farmsafe811.org.
Tired of low or no connectivity? Do you live in BTN, Bug Tussle Nowhere? We want to talk to you. Bug Tussle brings high-speed internet to the places others don't. No contracts, no data caps, truly unlimited internet. Call 877-227-0924.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows around 50 tonight under mainly cloudy skies, south winds around 5 miles per hour. Highs level off around 78 tomorrow. Partly cloudy skies again tomorrow night, 55. Upper 70s Thursday with a chance for scattered thunderstorms. Chance for scattered rain showers on Friday. Highs in the mid 70s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 71. Yeah.
Education Talk. The number is 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Alfie Cohn, great guest, first half hour, learning loss. Oh my goodness, let's not get that upset about it. It's really about the fact of remembering. If you have something you've forgotten when you were in school, give us a call, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Johnny, I like what Alfie talks about this, and I wonder, you know, if we could tease this apart, is that, so if you're listening and somebody says, oh my God, learning loss, that you should hear that not as, holy crap, my kid lost this incredible amount of learning. It's that if we are, quote, measuring learning loss, and in fact, measuring how much kids remembered. The reality is that the schooling, the education your child was receiving wasn't that good. So learning loss isn't a measure that says necessarily that all of the horrible things that are about to happen, economic deprivation, your kid's never going to amount to anything. Learning loss really is an indictment of a system that says remembering stray random facts is the main goal. And you know what? It looks like right here we've measured that kids have forgotten things. If they've forgotten it, was it even important to remember in the first place, Johnny Lupinacci?
Well, man, Tim, you know, it's always good to be learning from Alfie and, you know, how many years and years of having his voice, you know, shine light on the complex issues of not only what's going on in our schools, but really the importance of all of us taking a step back and really asking those questions about what is it we want our children learning? Who are the citizens that we want them to become in our communities? And what are the skills they need to get there? And so, you know, I think it reminds us to do inventory. We're living in a changed world, right? What are the things that we really care about as experts, whether it's in the field of mathematics or in English language arts or in social studies, you know, or in the arts in general, or PE? What do we want young people to get from being together with us in schools? And we've been on autopilot, maybe even asleep at the wheel, you know, for several decades at least, at what was important to learn in school. And we are living in changed times. And so we're long overdue for doing that kind of inventory on, you know, what is it we want to measure? What is it we value in our communities? And learning loss, I mean, Tim, we've done show after show on this, right? And Alfie reminds me of this, you know, is that learning loss is a whole discourse. It's a whole label to put blame on kids and teachers and schools. I'm not saying that every school is perfect out there, that every kid is, you know, perfect. Although, like, I do think, you know, kids come to us pretty, you know, pretty much not responsible. Like, we're responsible for them. We don't blame them for where they're at with things. But in general, it's a move to blame teachers, to blame parents, to blame students. When, you know, Alfie gives us a generative kind of nudge. Why don't we take a look at what we're assessing? Why don't we take a look at how we're teaching and what we're teaching and create a priority list, right? Okay. Because if we get that list going and we work together for those kinds of assessments, you know, we're going to see something different than the kinds of metrics that are popping up when we enter that world that's now labeled learning loss. You know, it really highlights certain knowledges like you had mentioned here and Alfie talked about in the first half of the show. You know, it emphasizes memorizing stuff that probably, you know, doesn't really matter in the context of surface level knowledge. But that is probably relatively important when we get into why are we learning these things and what are they giving us in terms of skills that we carry with us into our lives as community members. Boom. Now we go from there.
But what you just said is that, you know, as these skills translate into, you know, responsible, ethical citizens, community members, neighbors, you know, family members. If we're really concerned about that as the outcome, then looking at standardized test score drops, even if we show indications that there is a drop, there's no real indication in that type of an assessment that really anything important. We have no ability to understand whether or not a child is going to be a responsible citizen and go out and work for the betterment of their community. In fact, I think I'm even hearing Alfie say that if we're only concerned about remembering information, there's a pretty good chance that we have an education system that isn't actively educating for citizenship. You know, and I think about that, and you know, in the first part there, I had mentioned quickly with Alfie the article that showed up in the Washington Post 2 weeks ago by James Harvey, one of the original people who were there at the writing of A Nation at Risk, 1983, 40 years ago, and where we are today, that we are absolutely concerned, you know, pearl clutching around people remembering. Boy, I look back and I think, you know, about that piece that I read from James Harvey, and it says, you know, even at the fact that A Nation at Risk was built on a false premise of people actually remembering and or not remembering, the reality of A Nation at Risk has turned public schools into remembering factories. If you were part of that remembering factory, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. I mean, I think about that type of an effect, and, you know, all of the conversations we've had about good teachers, you know, what we should be doing, citizenship, democracy, when we put it up against the fact that actually we have a school system that, you know, 40 years ago was turned into a system that is about remembering pretty much useless information, are we surprised about the potential of citizenship maybe slightly being a little bit hard to assess, not really sure what's going on out there, but that the focus of schooling has been away from community standards and really focused on this very narrow sense of academic achievement? And really, academic achievement, for my neighbor who's listening, it's really not about academic smarts and intelligence. It's really about saying, how much do you remember? I said, I put it out for anybody who wants to call in, 844-967-2789. If you had a great teacher, was it because they made you remember? Or is it because they made you think, and then you held on to that? And the memory of learning is not a memory of the facts that they taught you, but a memory of that experience that they put you in. Johnny, I think that's what we're trying to talk about, right?
I mean, yeah, it is. And I'm gonna just push at this a little bit though, Tim, because I think what we know too is that sometimes you got to remember some things.
Okay.
You know, and so there is a place for a lot of the kinds of things we learned and memorized. But what I think we're emphasizing here is that good learning and good teaching doesn't stop at the memorization. Right. It isn't only about that. It's utilizing, you know, putting our brains to work, our capacity to remember things on call, whether that be with assistance from notes or different things. But it's really about putting it to use. Mm. And sometimes it's helpful to memorize. I mean, I'm going to think about like sight words in our early learners. These are important things where we begin to teach young people that reading isn't always about sounding everything out. You also sound things out, but some stuff you just see it, you recognize it, and you run with it. Does that work for every single kid? No. Does that mean kids that don't memorize all their sight words are doomed? No. It just means that there are different skill sets for everyone to put their mind to work in ways that apply those skills in everyday life. You know, multiplication, addition, we can break it down and know how to do it conceptually, but also, you know, it helps to kind of memorize your times tables a little bit. So there's like a place for both. But if we only focus on the memorization and we only test and assess in ways that reward memorization or surface level learning disproportionately to application, oh boy, are we doomed. And I think that's where we kind of meet on things, Tim, too. And we're saying like, well, we've done that. The latter is where we've kind of gone down that road. And if you've memorized a bunch of stuff and you pull it up well on the bubble tests, then you are moving up the ladder.
Right.
But here's the spoiler alert. The ladder doesn't lead to anywhere. Okay.
Wait a minute. All these people who do well on these tests, Johnny, come on. You just told them that ladder doesn't go anywhere.
No. I mean, at some point, you have to apply.
Okay.
Okay. You have to be able to apply it. So I'm not saying everyone who goes up that ladder, you know, gets to the top and just kind of bloop, like a lemming falls off. But every single learner at some point in real life, like outside of school, has to apply what they've learned, okay, to go to whatever that next level is. We'll say like to grow up, to be an adult, to be, you know, contributing member of a democratic society. You have to put it to practice. And the more time we spend in schools, both learning and practicing what we learn in real life scenarios, the better we're all going to be at it. And so now looking at these 40 years, the trend was learn more, learn more, learn more, learn more, learn more. And what did it rob? It robbed learn to apply it, learn to apply it. We just kept pulling from application and into learning. So we jam-packed kids' brains full of stuff that they don't know what to do with.
Well, we've jammed it. We've tried to jam it packed, and we keep, though, getting upset when we use tests, right? Because somebody always comes back and says, darn it, Johnny Lupinacci, your students don't remember. Your students don't remember. Public schools are failures at producing memory. I don't want to say our public schools are failures at producing memories, but public schools are failing. And we know this because every time we give some form of a round of standardized testing that is, again, based on a very big faulty logic, a nation at risk, this idea of pushing facts as the only things that matter, it's a problem. 844-967-2789. The number is 844-967-2789. You know what? Memories, though, Johnny, you know, remembering, though, as you just said, you know, when the absolute, pinnacle achievement that we believe is some form of remembering, and then we continually hear that people don't remember, I think that's one of the ways that we might be able to start breaking through to start saying, okay, how do we have a system? Because you are right, and I am not making a claim that the facts and things like that that you need to remember are useless. The reality is, though, is if we want people to use remember to have a sense that these things are important, then what you just said is that application, using the application in the performance part, right? You know, doing something, remembering matters when you go to use it.
That's right. And Tim, I know we got to take a break, but when we come back, man, I got a story about pizzas and TVs.
Okay, pizzas and TVs. I love that. Pizzas, TVs, a nation at risk. We just had a great guest, assessment and remembering, Alfie Cohn. It's Busted Pencils. It's Tuesday night, 844-967-2789. More when we get back.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
This time next week, I'll be sick in bed with West Nile virus, thanks to a mosquito bite right in front of my house.
In 8 minutes, my daughter will be in an ambulance, having an asthma attack, triggered by cockroaches.
I'm going to be bitten by a tick today. I won't even know it until Lyme disease turns my life upside down.
Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association and the CDC.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
The conversation online. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook and on Twitter.
What if I'm righting you a wrong? What if you knew it all along? What if I figured out that I did not belong? What if it always bothered me? What if I never did believe? Would it be wrong if I decided I should leave?
It would be absolutely wrong if you decided to leave Busted Pencils fully leaded education talk. The number is 844-967-2789. Breaking down the first half of the show, Alfie Cohen, our guest, talking about, hey, remembering stuff. Guess what? We don't remember a lot of stuff. Johnny, though, you were talking about something with pizza.
Yeah, man, I'm remembering.
Before the break. Okay, remember out loud for us, man.
Remembering about pizzas and TV. So I got a story for you, Tim, when you talk about assessment, right? And when we talk about, I was saying we jam-packed kids' brains full of facts, right? Like we've really upped the ante. And that's what this assessment plan has been about, is every couple of years seeing where we're at as a nation. What are the scores, right? Mm-hmm. And we are talking about things like learning loss, or I would say like media in general, or experts are labeling this moment as learning loss, because what they've done is followed a line. And that line was increasing and increasing because as a nation, what we said is we got to do more. We can do more. We can pack kids' brains full of more. And what I had said before is we borrowed from application and we took away from spending time together applying what we were learning in ways that would translate to real life skills, right? And that's a really valuable piece. You can pack your brain full of knowledge. We called it back in the day, where we'd call it, right, being book smart. You can be book smart, but if you're not street smart, what are you? Right. You're dumb. So there's a balance between these two things. So, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell a story about pizzas and TVs, Tim, because it helps break down why this is so absurd. All right. I used to manage at a pizza place. I won't name the pizza place. I love that pizza place a lot. It's a Detroit favorite, and it's all around the country. So you can get one hot and ready whenever you want. But man, I loved making pizzas. Right. And so, in the pizza industry, you know, which is a business, right? They want you to sell more pizzas. Mm. So they do all kinds of advertising, do all kinds of things to get you to sell more pizzas. Well, as a manager of a pizza restaurant, you can make more money if you make quota, right? If you sell a certain number of projections for what they want you to sell at your shop in terms of pizzas, right? Mm. So it's good, sort of good business 101. Let's set some goals and let's reach those goals. When you reach them, sometimes you get a bonus, right? So you work real hard and you do all kinds of extra things because you're like, you know what? I want that bonus. And you know what? It'd be great to reach our sales goals and we're going to sell more pizzas. And we do what we can. We get people outside spinning signs. We get all kinds of, you know, marketing and ads and all kinds of customer service. Everyone's chipping in. And, you know, the salaried folks, the non-hourly and some of the hourly too, but especially the salary folks are like, you know what? I'm going to do extra because reaching those sales goals is going to help our business. It's going to help us get there. And so we work as hard as we can to sell as many pizzas as we can. We're making lots of pizzas. We're selling lots of pizzas. And you know what? We do it. And we throw a big party. And we're super excited because you know what? We sold more pizzas than ever. We reached our goal. You know what comes after that, Tim? A higher goal.
Oh.
So then I get my new projections and I'm supposed to sell more pizzas. I'm like, oh my God, Tim, we're going to do this. Okay, rally the troops. We can do it. You know what comes after we reach that goal? a higher goal. You know what happens at a certain point? We can't possibly make or sell more pizzas. And you know what happens then?
You're a failure.
Yeah. And same thing. TVs, same business. I have a really close friend at the same time as I was, you know, making and selling pizzas. They were selling TVs. Same plan. All right. At a place where you could find a really good buy. All right. And so what would happen is they would sell awesome TVs and they would say, you know what? We're going to sell a bunch of TVs. And I think folks listening probably get the gist of it. Yeah. They bent over backwards and sold a whole lot of TVs, came back with the next quarter's projections, higher, sell more TVs. Hold on a minute though, Tim, at least pizza people eat it and want more. A TV. I mean, what do you got to do? You just got a new TV. Everyone's not buying a new TV. So here we go with the absurdity of sort of, capitalism 101 or, you know, business projections and the business model. It doesn't map on to education. I'm not here to critique it in the business world. If that's what we want to do with selling pizzas and TVs, great, right? We'll do that. But in learning, it doesn't work. And that's where we're at. We're looking at a thing called learning loss because we've jacked up the numbers higher than the people. If we look at the people writing articles on learning loss, scored lower than the students that are taking these tests now when they were that age.
That's it. I mean, and that's it. Talking about bring it all the way back to that is that quote, when we, you know, measure learning loss, you know, and what we heard over the pandemic and over the NAEP scores now, too, is that, you know, over two years, there was a drop. The reality, though, too, is that, first of all, even if you want to use those gauges, you got to look 20, 30 years and you'll see largely there's some form of a growth up. It's just a projection in time. But Johnny, you made me think, though, about the pizza thing and the fact of going, you know, you could do better. There were things that they would do to potentially help you to do better. And now I think, though, about learning, and the reality is that we still continue to allow children to live at home in poverty, rural poverty, suburban poverty, urban poverty, Maslow's hierarchy, food, safety, medical conditions. We don't care about those things. We don't. And so if I say to a teacher, I want you to increase remembering, and then when I say I want you to increase remembering, I then say, but I'm not going to do anything on my side as a policymaker other than make a rule that says I want you to increase remembering on the kids that I refuse to create policies that would give them the food that they need, the shelter that they need, the healthcare that they need, that maybe even we could quote, bump up the scores, because now at least we're going to be working with healthy, you know, children, right? And so we're thinking about that. This is getting really late on the time here, but it's just one of those perplexing issues to me that comes across, that even if we do want the goal to be remembering, we refuse as a nation to look at the state of the conditions in which our kids and our families live, the outside of school factors, the realities that are happening in the streets, street smart, and that could be farm smart, street smart, whatever, mountain smart, all of those issues, those are significant issues. And so when we get there, again, let's break it down, busted pencils, fully leaded. See you next week.
Yes.
Want more Busted Pencils? Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Busted Pencils, or log on to BustedPencils.com for blogs, podcasts, and more. Join us again next Tuesday for Busted Pencils on Devil Radio 92.7.
And we're live here outside the Perez family home, just waiting for the... And there they go, almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear. Oh, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere.
Ooh, but mom has just nailed the perfect car seat buckle for the toddler. And now the eldest daughter, who looks to be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally